Will Pass is a novelist based in Fort Collins. His first book, The Second Smartest Dog That Ever Lived, was published in October 2024. He's recently been garnering attention on social media for a series he films in public places. KGNU's Abby O'Brien sat down with Pass to ask him how the series came to be. After the interview, we'll hear from the Boulder Bookstore. They'll tell us about some of the most popular books being purchased lately.
Found it kind of tricky to get attention in the beginning, and so, like a lot of new authors, turned to social media. About a year ago, I started a social media account. I've never really been one to use it, and tried a few things that didn't really work, and then one day I was in Lowe's with my three-year-old son, and I was thinking about another thing new authors hear a lot, which is you've got to find your readers. And people say that, and of course it sounds true, but it's like, well, what do you mean, find your readers? And I thought, well, maybe if I take this literally, I should find my readers. And I'm in Lowe's with a bunch of mostly construction dudes walking around. I thought, well, who's actually reading, right? Like, are these guys reading? And I thought, well, you know what I'll do is I'll go up to the next guy I see and I will ask him what he's reading. Maybe he's one of my readers and we just haven't met yet. And so the next guy to walk by is just this big burly construction worker. I thought, oh, Will, you got to do it anyway. So I walked up to him. I said, excuse me, can I ask you a quick question? It's for social media. And he looked at me like, and he just goes, no. And he walks off. And I thought, well, I probably shouldn't be surprised, but I still have all my fingers and toes. And my three-year-old's there. And I said, I mean, we try again, right? That's what we do. I'm always telling him that. So I got over my initial nerves and started talking to people, and people were receptive. Like, as I got more relaxed, they got more relaxed. And I found that some people were reading and I wasn't really expecting them to be reading. In particular, I met this young guy who's reading sci-fi novels in his work truck at the construction site on his lunch break. I was like, that is so cool. I just wouldn't have guessed. And then as I wrapped up for the day, I interviewed one last older gentleman in the parking lot, and he was reading three or four books a week. He's retired, so that helps a lot. And he said, nobody reads books anymore. And I just thought, well, I feel that way too sometimes, but I'm reading books. And I've met a few people today who are reading books. And so the readers are out there and I need to find them, not just my readers, but I need to find the readers. And that was the start of Who Reads Books Anymore.
On your page, you talk about quitting your job as a veterinarian. And one of the reasons you gave, I think, was like, you have to talk to people too much all week. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because you've chosen this thing to do where you have to go up to complete strangers.
Well, I practiced as a vet for a couple years. And pretty soon after I started practicing, I developed rheumatoid arthritis. And I was struggling a lot physically. I was in a lot of pain. And that's when I started writing, partly for a professional pivot. I also started writing my first novel, The Second Smartest Dog That Ever Lived, which was strongly informed by my time in vet practice. And I do love people. It's just like a lot of great things. I like them in moderation. And I found that by the end of a week in vet practice, which can be so emotionally draining, and I was also going through a really hard time in my own life, I just couldn't handle it. And I found that the vets who are happiest are those extreme extroverts. It's interesting because the profession attracts a lot of introverts, people who love animals, people who love books, people who love to be quiet. And I'm one of those people. I feel like I do love people. It's just in moderation. And so I've had the opposite problem since becoming a writer. I work as a freelance medical writer and a journalist, and I'm at home by myself all day. Who Reads Books Anymore has become this way for me to engage with people, and I love it. We're talking about books. It's a lot easier than talking about a sick pet or something like that. And so I find it really energizing, and it's kind of like I set out to sort of get attention on social media, frankly, but I just love talking to people about books and giving books away. And so it's become really inherently rewarding. And it's one of those things people say, these small interactions in life are one of the main contributors to our happiness. And I find that, and I've had people say that to me sort of surprisingly. They said, this made my day. You know, I'm just talking to this woman in PetSmart. She hadn't read any books. And we just chatted for a little bit. And she said, this made my day. I thought, well, it made my day too, you know, to interact like that.
You're going out as an introvert and finding the other introverts in a lot of cases.
Yeah. To talk to you. Absolutely. Yeah. And books are this great connector. I would recommend it to anybody. A lot of times we'll talk about the weather, right? Or something like that. Books, though, provoke this conversation, and they can lead you almost anywhere. And I think that's one of the fun things about the show is, sure, we do talk about specific books sometimes, but sometimes it opens up into very unexpected territory, and books just have that power, and they will cause an introvert to open up in the best way.
How many books have you read in the past month?
One.
What did you read?
Tell Me Everything. It's one of those book club recommendations. Oh, I really like it. My daughter read 60 books last year. She gave it to me for Christmas.
What is your favorite book of all time?
Cold Mountain. I just loved that book. I didn't even want to finish it.
You are doing a pretty good job of getting different people from different walks of life. So I wanted to ask you, in a sense, this is a little bit of a scientific study. What have you learned from talking to people randomly about books? What have you learned about readership in our community?
Yeah, I describe it as like the worst sociological experiment ever conducted. It's like a scientific adventure in that it's not very well controlled. But what I've learned is that books matter so deeply to some people. They are the essence of their being. And for other people, they just could not care less. And maybe that's obvious, but what I expected going into it, and this is my own beliefs entering into it, I value reading so much and I value books so much. And I was worried that I might embarrass people or upset people if I asked them if they read and they said no. But I've been surprised by sometimes how people don't care about books. Some don't. And they'll even say it proudly. They don't read. One thing I decided early on is to try and make the show very encouraging and positive. And so when people say they don't read, I always ask them, what do you like to do instead? And we find that a lot of people who don't read, it's not as simple as it sometimes seems. There are a lot of people with learning difficulties, with dyslexia, people who had negative early experiences. You know, I grew up in a house full of books. My parents taught me to read. They read to me every night. And not everybody has that advantage. And so you see it come out in different ways. And then what I've also found really fascinating about the show is when you do get somebody who doesn't read, or maybe somebody, a guy recently basically said he hates books in the mall in Fort Collins. And he said, people think books know everything and they don't know anything any more than anybody else, or something along those lines. And the first wave of comments was like, can you believe this guy? But then I feel like the power of the readers comes in, and they start to say things like, maybe this guy had a negative childhood experience with books. Maybe this guy is dyslexic. And so I see this massive spectrum from people who hate books to people who read a lot. And I think it makes them deeply empathic. And I love that about the show, is I never know what I'm going to get. And you really cannot judge a book by its cover. In the same episode, I asked a gentleman who was wearing like a Coors t-shirt in the mall with a mustache. I don't know. It's like you draw your expectations. And he read four books, and one of them was Metamorphosis by Kafka. And he was told me all about it and loved it. And then he was going to his job at the Buckle. And so you just never know who's reading and who isn't.
Well, the last thing I want to ask you is, of course, how many books have you read in the past month?
I am on track to read about 8 books in the past month. I thought about how to answer this, because listing them is sometimes kind of heroic, and I'm not capable of that. It is a lot easier to ask the question.
Well, I'll take a move from your book and say, anything that stood out to you?
Yes. Yeah. There's one book that really stood out to me called Madness, Rack, and Honey by Mary Ruffel, who is a poetry professor from Vermont. And this is kind of a deep cut, I guess, for poets and writers, but her love of poetry and writing and books is so profound that if you consider yourself a very passionate reader, then spending time with Mary Ruffel is like spending time with the most brilliant and loving English professor you could ever imagine. And so I'd recommend it for all the book lovers out there.
My guest has been Will Pass. Will, thanks so much for chatting with me. Where can people find you?
You can find me on all the social platforms at Will Pass Books. The show is called Who Reads Books Anymore? And I also share a monthly newsletter that includes all of the books from the prior month. So if you miss an episode, you can subscribe to that and you'll still see what everybody's really reading out there.